Alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, let's open the Word of Truth to Romans 1, and we are at verse 24 on page 20 of your new notes. Romans 1, 24. An absolutely critical and essential doctrine for the survival and the flourishing of the believer in time is the rebound technique of 1 John 1:9. It's taught all through Scripture in a lot of different ways. We'll have occasion to make a lot of mention of it later on here in Romans. You're in fellowship. You're able to do certain things you're not able to do otherwise. You can't learn the plan of God being ruled by your sin nature. Whatever sins have you in their grasp, that knocks out your ability to focus on Bible doctrine. The Holy Spirit has been given to every believer. He is our guide. He reveals God's plan through the communication of Bible doctrine to the soul of the person who is a genuine seeker. If you have determined that you're one of those, then you need to realize that at all times you need to be in fellowship. The sin that so easily besets refers to our propensity to commit mental attitude and other type sins like that. The sin nature never gives up. It is stirred up. It arises. It puts pressure on the real you, the soul, to go along with whatever agenda it is putting upon you. It isn't the devil. It's the sin nature. So, rebound gets you in fellowship. And the attitude you should have when you are in fellowship is what James said, quick to hear and slow to speak. So, let's take the usual time to make the necessary preparation. Let us pray. Well, Heavenly Father, your mercies are renewed to us each and every day. You are absolutely faithful to everything in your word, and we thank you that you continue to provide this place where we can receive the necessary information to prepare ourselves for what is coming. Be with us in our study, in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I'll be talking about this quite a bit. This is a way to quickly understand the essence of God. It's put in a triangle because there's three members of the Godhead as noted here. All three members of the Godhead are co-equal and co-eternal. One isn't greater than the other. And no, they don't share omnipotence. The Holy Spirit has one-third and one-third and so forth. They're all three omnipotent, all-powerful. They all share the same attributes. And God's character, you've got to have character. You got to have the right kind of character to do well and survive. And that is his righteousness and his fairness, his justice. And, of course, he's eternal. That's on there. He is sovereign. He has free will. He does what he pleases. But all these other attributes check off of his righteousness. He never overrides his righteousness to accomplish an end. And then sovereignty means he has free will. God does as he pleases. And what he pleases to do is in accordance with his righteousness, his justice, and his veracity. He is the three O's. Omnipresent. You can't go anywhere where he's not already there. High, low, any place. There's a whole psalm on that. The psalmist is talking about there isn't anywhere he could go. He'd go to the bottom of the ocean. God's there. Heaven above. Everywhere. He exists in endless space. as it says in one place, as Paul said, as one of your poets says, he's not far from any of us. That's an understatement to make a point. You can't escape his being there. Omnipotence, omnipresence, omniscience. There isn't anything he doesn't know. You can't tell him anything. He doesn't find out stuff. He's known everything and every single solitary detail from eternity past. How otherwise could he fairly judge us? He wouldn't have all the facts. He wouldn't know today when you were in fellowship and produced divine good and when you weren't. He has to know everything so that the final evaluation of humanity is based on all the facts. That's how you can render a righteous judgment. And then, of course, there is immutability. There is no changing with him. He doesn't evolve. He doesn't get better, and certainly not worse. There's no shadow of turning, no changing. As it says in the Bible, Jesus Christ yesterday, today, and forever. And then we have veracity. God is absolute truth. He only speaks and communicates the truth. And then, of course, thankfully, God is love. Or we wouldn't have a plan of salvation. We would have been nailed immediately. And we wouldn't even be here. All right. Review the doctrine of divine essence. And, of course, God is a spirit. Always add immaterial, not seen, real, and so forth. All right. Let's press on in Romans. What the exchange resulted in. Now, you have to be here. It's kind of like anything you are being informed with regard to, you have to be in the loop. I will do some reviewing, but we move on. In this section, we will be discussing, and it'll probably get me kicked off YouTube. So what? Abnormal sexual perversion prevailed among the Gentile peoples in various degrees and various places. Not everybody was equal in it. Some went further into it than others. But it was rampant through the nations. Let's look at these verses. Therefore is a takeoff from the preceding. As a result of their repudiation or reprobation of God by embracing idolatry, instead of serving and seeking and serving God, they went after false gods to try to explain the creation. How did it get here? That is a fair question for humanity, and everybody thinks about it at some point. Most people just blow it off and don't go any further with it. But the concept of an all-powerful creator is universal. Universal. Among the most backward nations on earth and the most advanced. And they ascertain this by the law of cause and effect. How did all of this, in all of its infinite detail and sophistication and interdependence, living things and non-living things, in all this form, get here so perfectly? All the cells and all the parts that make up your human body. It's like a car out there. If all the parts aren't on the engine and all of them functioning, the thing isn't going to work. It takes everything working. Now, of course, parts can fail and not work real well, but it takes the whole thing for it to function. It's not a perfect analogy, but the human body requires that all of these different diverse cells that make up trillions and trillions of cells in one human being are programmed to grow hair, to grow fingernails, etc., 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 etc. This happened by accident? On its own? Things don't happen on their own. You can put a $100 bill on your counter and it's not going to get bigger and be 200 and 10,000, and eventually if you wait long enough it'll be 1,000,000. It'll just be 100. It's what it'll be. Men create things, build things, invent things, because they are in the image of God. They have an ability to put things together. This works better. This is an improvement. So men, in that sense, create things, not out of nothing. God created all of this out of nothing. The Latin is ex nihilo, or the other word is fiat, F-I-A-T, creation. Out of nothing. He brought all things into existence perfectly. He will take them all out of existence too, with the exceptions of human bodies, and start a new creation too, earth too, that believers will get to live on. So no, it was not brought into existence. See, in the pagan world, well, this deity is over the waters. This is the deity of the so-and-so and so-and-so. And just went on and on with this nonsense. So, as a result of their... See, all these non-believers, they repudiated or reprobated God. They reprobated Him by putting in these substitutes that they worshipped and fell down before objects, dead objects, lifeless objects, offered incense to Him, which represents prayer. Did all this stuff. And they had the knowledge of God in front of them. But generally speaking, universally, not absolutely every person, they didn't want to know about Him. Wouldn't the smart thing be, whoever did this, I want to be on good terms with that deity. Because it's somebody, it's invisible. It's something invisible. So it's God. His invisible attributes are clearly seen, as we see in the preceding section, by the things that are out there. We should have never had any of these ideas and concepts ever arise. But it happened. Now we come into the Western, post-pagan civilization. And what do we resort to? Science. Falsely so-called. To try to explain reality. And it's everywhere. It's in the National Geographic magazine. Beautiful magazine. Got a lot of neat stuff in it. As long as they stay off of that. But they can't. That's how they were schooled. They were trained to believe that everything came from nothing. Because of an explosion. A big bang. Billions and billions of years ago. And the universe is still getting bigger and bigger. Growing, growing, growing. Expanding. All this mess to explain what is so simple. God said, and it was so. God said, let there be, let there be, let there be. Bam, bam, bam. So as a result of the repudiation of God, hence the rise of paganism, cutting God out cuts out this moral standard, or it attacks it. Therefore, God gave them over. The verb gave them over, aorist indicative of paradidomi. It means, in another different way, to hand over or give over. Found three times in these verses. It refers to the permissive will of God. The will of God is divided into directive will, what He allows, permissive will, and overruling will. Now, within the directive will, there is the viewpoint will of God. What does He want me to think about? We got a subject here. What does He want me to think about this? What's his take on this? That's the viewpoint will. And then there's the operational will of God. What does He want me to do? Some overt activity. Tonight, get up out of your place and get here. That's operational will. You made it here. And then there's the geographical will. Where does God want me to live? Well, that's already determined for us. Where I can get be in the best possible spiritual environment to feed my soul. And if I have to move from Timbuktu to Oklahoma City or where there's a local church that's doing this kind of work, then that's what I got to do. Get on my knees, start praying about it, and do what Abraham did. Remember him, don't you? He was the guy that left Ur of the Chaldees and a rich family and a nice city. He just left it because God called him to another place and he never looked back. Oh, I so miss Ur. I'm out here in the boondocks with all these Canaanites. No, he never did that. The Bible actually says the man never looked back. He never said, let's go back and visit whoever there. Of course, back then you had to travel a long ways. He severed it. He severed all connections. God said, I'll show you a land that I'm going to give to you and your descendants. But you've got to make the operational will application and the geographical relocation. I'll tell you another believer in the Bible that did that. A female. Her name's Ruth. She was from Moab. And she ran into a Jewish family who moved there because there was a drought in Israel. They got out of the geographical will. But God used that to bring the truth to her. She cut ties with her people, the Moabites, and got a new people. Not expecting any big thing, just, I'm going to move. I'm going to relocate. It isn't all that far away, Moab, in relationship to the land of Israel, but she moved there. And as things turned out, this single woman married into the line of Christ and had a child that was a descendant in the line of Christ. Was she the grandmother or great-grandmother of David? You can see it in the genealogy. God gave them over. To what? Gave them over in the lusts, in preposition. Epithumia is the Greek word for lust, plural, of their hearts. The lust pattern of the old sin nature, hooking up with the volition of the real you in the soul and committing certain types of sins. To impurity. All right? Impurity into akatharsia. Impurity. So that, with the result that, we have a definite article of the infinitive, to treat, atimazo. This word means to treat shamefully, disgracefully, dishonor. So that their bodies, soma, would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Now let's go back, before we get into this, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie. I don't know why we have this in here like that. Ignore it. Who exchanged, meta lasso, it's a bad trade-off, the truth of God into a lie, pseudos, singular, and worshipped, sabazomai, the aorist indicative, and worshipped and served, la truo, and served the creature, katesis, it's also the word for creation, either way, be served the creature or the creation rather than the creator, the one creating, having created, aorist active participle, katizo. And then Paul adds, who, referring to God, is, keeps on being, blessed, eulogetos, forever. Forever is the definite article with the accusative masculine plural ion into the ages, would be an idiom for forever. And then he adds, I believe it. Amen. It's a statement of, I'm in agreement with that. Continuing. For this reason, now this ties this together. Their corrupt religion and their practices begat a lot of awful STA activity. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. Degrading passions, which I'm going to label here as, we're going to deal with sex sins, but particularly we're going to classify them into two broad categories. Normal man, woman. Normal perversion is sex between a male and a female who aren't married. Abnormal, well, that's same sex relationships. That's abnormal. You don't have to be very smart to see that. But you have to be real stupid to fall into the other. If you look at female and male physiology with regard to the function of sex and procreation, you can pretty well figure out the divine design. You do not have to go to school. You just had to be out on my ranch and watch animals having sex. And you pretty well figured out where I came from. My mom and dad. Or I wouldn't be here. It's pathetic today. God is turning people over to this stuff. To this insanity that's out there. And it's one thing for people in some locales, San Francisco back in the day, to have a gay community or whatever it is. Now it's promoted from at the highest levels of our government and will be supported and funded by taxpayers' dollars to promote this LGBT insanity. Plus, because you've got to add something, there might be something we haven't thought of. Who sent me that photo of that woman from the American woman from the past? You could tell her makeup and everything, and she has her head turned like this. And she says, "I'm exhausted I'm being exhausted by the stupidity of people." That was at the top of it. She was looking like this. Yeah, I get it. For even their female, you see, I put females in brackets because there's a word for woman in the Greek. It's not very flattering to women, but it is the Greek word for a woman, gune. But there's a different word for a female and a different word for a male. We'll see what they are. They're females, and I want it translated like that because that's what it is. They're females. Here we go back to the word exchanged. The natural function for that which is unnatural. That's all he says about lesbianism. That's what he says about lesbianism. They exchanged the natural. It was a decision on each person who did this for the unnatural. So, for this reason, God gave them over, paradidomi, to degrading passions. The word passion can be used in a good sense, pathos, plural. But here we have passions of dishonor, atimia, even for the female, thelos, exchanged, metalasso, the natural, psukikos. That's the natural order, which is observable, by the way. They gave over the natural, which would refer to those women who did practice this. They gave over the natural, which would be defined to wait for or find an opposite male number. The natural function. Function, this word, krei sisi, is a noun, a Greek noun. It's a word function, but it's always used of sexual intercourse. The natural function. For, preposition eis, that which para, against, nature, phusis, hence unnatural. And in the same way also, homoios, in the same way also, males. The word for male is arsane. If it was man, it'd just be anthropos. See, male and female indicate the difference. They abandoned, forsook, aphiemi, the natural, again, same word, psychikos, for the natural function, increases, of the woman, in case you didn't know. Definite article with a genitive of velos, female. But he goes into more details with the male than the female. You can see this. And burn in their desire towards one another. Burned is ek kai omai, aorist passive indicative. It's used here of lust. In their desire, excuse me, this is only here, preposition in with oresis, means lustful passion or desire toward one another. Another of the same kind, alelon. Males with males. Males with males. Arsane with the instrumental of arsane. Males with males committing indecent acts. Indecent acts is a definite article with a noun, accusative feminine singular, askeme osune, means a shameful act. It also occurs on one other time in Revelation 16:15. Committing, I didn't give you that one yet, to accomplish something, kat ergadzomai. So committing indecent acts. And receiving. The word receiving means is reciprocal. Receiving, antimisthia, means recompense, reciprocal, which, imperfect active indicative, which is the due penalty, the proper penalty. That's the word, D-I-A is the word proper, with a definite article, with the noun, plane, air, in their own persons. And receive is apolambano. All right. That's a killer verse to try to put together. I'm just telling you that. But we'll start with the analysis here. In verses 21 through 23, Paul establishes the descent into paganism. The preceding verses. The apostasy following the Tower of Babel incident eventually spread to all the dispersed peoples of the earth. All the nations after the flood came from Iraq. All the different races, we were all together in one little place, building a tower, rebelling against God, and the commandment was, hook up with your racial type and go out and start a nation. That's what it said. God made the different racial types to live on the earth. But they didn't do it. In rebellion, they stayed there and built this tower that they thought they could reach the third heaven with. But God stopped it because one day when they all got up, they all were speaking a different language. And you just can't live with people if you can't understand them. It just doesn't work. We have two Hispanic ladies who clean our house every other week, and they just jabber away. They seem real happy. I don't know a thing they're saying. It's the barrier is there. So the mother-son cult, a counterfeit of the seed of the woman prophecy, established itself in the major nations of the earth. Now this took a while. And then they all developed their own stuff all around it. In verse 24, to the end of the chapter, Paul cites the moral degeneracy that went hand in hand with the worship of idols. You know, they made idols in their own image. So a lot of these idols, these gods, goddesses, and so forth, they were immoral. They were violent. They were a whole number of things. I suppose there were some benign deities. But the thing is that they didn't make gods that were above the gods. All these stories that were made up about these deities. In a series of three statements, Paul declares that God gave them over to unrestrained STA activity. He could have killed them, stopped it, but he let them run amok. We call this the permissive will of God. It's one of the tests that a believer has in time. Why, oh God, are you letting the wicked do what they're doing? It's a subject of a lot of psalms and laments, and it is a test. But he's dealt with all of them that have passed from the scene, and he will deal with the future. And now we are on the cusp of him dealing with humanity on a level that's never been heard of. This wrath will come to all the nations in a 7-year period. The wrath is already with us. His wrath is being revealed from heaven. You hear about it in the news all the time. Floods, fires, all kinds of things falling down. It's wrath. God knocking on people. Viruses. Wars. Upheavals. His wrath is falling on the nations. And this country is definitely getting it. Go in and look up the frequency and the intensity currently of earthquakes around the world. Jesus said this would happen in the last days. There'd be an intensification of wars, rumors of wars. The rise of false teachers. And then all these so-called natural events falling down on people. The wrath of God is being revealed. It happens on a personal level with people, all the way up the ladder to cities, places, countries. It's a mess out there. And I've seen this accelerate in the last 5 years like I've never... It's unbelievable. The acceleration of this type of wrath directed from heaven against all this corruption on earth. Well, we haven't seen anything yet. This country is in conflict with the Lord. A verse out of one of the prophecies. Well, he's going to take us on. We want to rise up and badmouth him and violate all his rules and destroy this nation. He's going to destroy it. Everything you read about global warming, it's a hoax. We got to get rid of gas cars so we all have an electric one. Texas got in trouble down there because all these windmills and everything are going to have all this wonderful electric. That's great if the wind's blowing. Solar panels. That's okay if the sun's shining. And that nitwit Bill Gates, he wants to blot out, black, shoot stuff up in the air and block the sun. There's no end to it, the stuff he wants to do. And he wants to vaccinate every last one of you, so you'll die and get sick. I warn my congregation against things. Resist. Resist. People are dying right and left. Young people. From this vaccine. Getting sick. They're short term, long term. They'll have to force me to it. You know what they're saying in Israel? This was in the news. Israel, if you don't take the vaccine, your life is basically over. You can't go to the shopping mall. You can't do this and that. It's the whole precursor to the tribulation. If you don't take the mark of the beast, you can't buy and sell. You can't go to the bank. Well, with these threats and things coming on, my trust is in the Lord. He takes care of the righteous. And if I suffer under it, I suffer. I'll be rewarded for it. And you and I will be out of here real soon via a resurrection body. Millions of us will disappear in front of these jerks. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, if you're a believer, you'll be transformed right on your feet. And they'll see you. And then, boom, up you'll go. Right through the ceiling without tearing it up or hurting your body. How is that possible? All things are possible with Him who is the Creator. So we're on the cusp now, people. We need to come together. No more nonsense, no more stupidity, though I can't prevent that. Let's just do what we have to do as a congregation and hang in there for the little bit of time we got left. We're at the end game. This country and world can't continue with this mess without divine intervention to start overthrowing it. And it's coming. I'm not trying to scare you. If it's scary, it's put fear in you, and I'm going to get my act together. So whatever your long-term plans are, you might put them on hold. It's just a little while. Do the right thing. If you've done the wrong thing and you're here, then you can switch. It's called repent. Change your mind. Do the right thing. Bear up under it. Move on. You got this far here. Keep it up. But, alas, I know there are people under the gun. But then that's your test in the last days. That's why you'll be able, if you stick with it, that's how you're going to be able to shine at the Bema seat. Because you didn't cave. You didn't give in to it. No matter how tough it got. False religion always begets moral degeneracy with all of its manifestations. 7, rejection of God as revealed in the natural world leads to moral depravity. 8, God gave the Gentile nations free rein to follow the lusts of their hearts, quote unquote. This is also noted as well in Acts 14:16, where Paul speaking on Mars Hill, in the generations gone by, he, God, permitted the nations to go their own ways. And in Acts 17:30, therefore, having overlooked, another way to put it, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring, we've upped the ante in the church age, that all people everywhere should change their minds. That's what repent means. Repent is basically a change of mind about something. A reversal, I'm going this way, but no, we change our minds every day about little things. No, I'm not going to do that. It's called changing your mind. Well, this is changing your mind with regard to your thinking on a spiritual level. The advent of Christ and the beginning of the church age, the Gentiles are held to an even higher level of culpability. Because now God has sent His church out into the world to evangelize the nations. Missionaries have traveled to every nation, every continent, through the course of the church age and brought the good news to the people living in darkness, spiritual. So the level of culpability is even higher. In Old Testament times, he would have, if there were a group of people out there that were going to respond, he could send them a prophet. Even a Gentile prophet, like Balaam. He was not without witness. But now, it's all the more. As a result of the impact of the church in human history, the old pagan systems began to collapse. Oh, I saw one today. There's no end to the stupidity in our country. In California, they're considering before the school board to teach the Aztec religion to the kids. They're going to chant, clap, if they pass this thing. The Aztecs had a bloody religion where they practiced human sacrifice and they went out of existence. I know, it's depressing. That's why it says in Revelation 18, it is a place filled with every kind of unclean spirit and unclean bird. Spirit being demonism, rampant. Demonism was behind communism. Demonism. What does Satan want to destroy? The family, man, woman, and some kiddos. Private property. Your personal free speech. And your choice of what you're going to worship or not. That's communism. Anything God has set up, communism seeks to undermine. And that's the mentality of a bunch of politicians and people in this country. And they're using black people too. They're using them to stir them up into racial conflict, strife. We'll get that scene coming up later. Strife. They're using them. Know that. Don't let people pit people against people in this way. I have zero problems with different races and skin colors. I have zero problem. What I have is bad behavior. Be you white, black, brown, yellow, whatever. Bad behavior. God accepts all people who will turn to Him, regardless of where they at, where they came from. So no, I'm not a racist. Oh, you're a racist just because you're white. Oh, really? See, that's what you need to stand up to. Tell them to go where they can go. Almost said something I shouldn't. A worldwide evangelist, spread of Christianity established a higher level of responsibility. The Gentiles not only have the witness of God via creation, that never stops, they now have the witness of the gospel being spread to the nations. Always pray that the gospel will get into these nations and get before people. I have a contact in West Africa, Ben Bonney. He lives in Togo, that's a country, West Africa, on the biggest port city on the west side, Lomé. He found me online back in the day. He found our website. He was a Christian at the time, a Baptist. He found our website and went, yes, and started him a little church there. Pray for them. Another one through one of my members out on an oil rig in the Arab Emirates, found out about me out of India, Vincent Thomas. I hear from him infrequently, but it always rings good when I hear from him. And I know those people in those countries are under the gun. I really do, for a lot of reasons. They can't afford to be off work because, well, we have to shut down for 2 months because of COVID. It hits them real hard. That's the plan of the Illuminati. Wreck economies. They are really geared up right now. The noun translated impurity refers to sexual vice, as in the verses cited under point 13. The Bible addresses the subject of sex, and God has given us His format for what is appropriate and what is out of line. The particular and most egregious manifestation of sex lust is same-sex activity, as noted in verses 26 and 27. They're lesbianism and homosexuality. So don't tell me the Bible doesn't speak against this. I had some guy call me. He was at that college here. What is it? SNU? Yeah. He called me and said, I don't see that word's in the Bible, homosexual. I said, well, it is. I will give you the actual word. It's not in Paul's verse here, but it's in another place. It's an actual compound word. Male with the word coitus with sex. Arsane, male, with coitus for sex. Male, same sex. Yeah, it is in there. It's in all the Greek literature. It's in the classical Greek lexicon. They had a term for it to describe it. So what are you trying to tell me? I don't think you like my answer. I don't know what he's looking for. You're supposed to be a Christian in a Christian school. You ask that? Oh, I don't mind asking a technical question. The phrase, with the result that their bodies would be dishonored among them, in context has to do again with same-sex perversion. Verse 25 repeats the thought of verse 23. repudiation of the witness of creation, and descent into idolatry, fueled their lust pattern, even to the point of abnormal sexual perversion. When I was a young fellow in college in St. Louis, they had a course in psychology about same-sex stuff. Do you know what that particular course was called? Abnormal psych. Abnormal psych. That was in the late 60s, mid to late 60s. Even the psychologists were saying that those involved in it were involved in an abnormal behavior pattern. They wouldn't call it God and sin, probably. They were just doing it from a standpoint of psychology, human behavior. And there was a whole course that was devoted to that. I didn't take it. I just knew that they did it. But in 1973, the American Society, Psychological Association, they flipped from condemning it to speaking favorably of it. That's what happened. Back then, you weren't treated real well in my high school if you were queer. Not that kids should be doing this to people, but that just the way it was. We didn't go for it. Repudiation, okay. God designed the human body for procreation. Duh. Okay. This woman's putting up this poster. Says there are two genetic sexes. That's true science. That's true science, dummies. This other is not true science. So not everybody's gone absolutely insane. So negative volition at God consciousness, back to our deal, result in exchanging truth, divine attributes, for a lie. The reiteration in verse 25 serves to, 1, amplify the severity of the offense, 2, reaffirm the basis for their consignment to STA lust, and 3, establish the connection between repudiation of the Creator with moral depravity. You won't get any of that in school. You won't get any of that in any psychology courses. But God isn't mentioned, I mean, in that sense. Even if they're teaching some true things about human behavior. God has been expunged from higher education. Except to mock Him. I told you that. I was hit with it in Western civilization. I know I bore you by repeating this. By the history professor, Dr. Burns, an Anglican. He liked to boast about that. He told all kinds of racial jokes. He couldn't make it today. They were really funny too. But he got up and said that Moses was the product of a Hebrew woman, an Egyptian. In other words, a bastard. Illegitimate. He got up there and said to all these young, impressionable freshmen in this big class, why do you have to go off on that? We're teaching Western civilization. It's their antagonism. And I had a good friend, same age, his name was Terry Crisp. He goes like this. Yes, yes, young man, what is it? He said, what is your documentation? What is your documentation for the statement that Moses is the illegitimate child of? What is it? He says, I'll give you my documentation. And these documents that I, and this, what I'm reading from here, these documents are well known to be very ancient. Pre-Christian, go way back. We found the Dead Sea Scrolls. There they were. And he started reading in Exodus about who Moses' mother and father were by name. That classroom went totally dead silent, and he dismissed us. Oh, it's too funny. Right in the midst of all that. I said, good for you, Terry. That was great. God used him on that occasion to show that that guy cannot be trusted. And then English Lit. The teacher pops off. The male teacher pops off with, oh, Adam and Eve, none of you believe that, do you? I do. We all came from one man and one woman. They can even tell you that by checking DNA. They can. I told you the story. And they weren't trying to prove the Bible at all. That they could do the DNA of Jews. Because see, when they were in the ghettos in Germany and so forth, they had to marry cousins and whatever. They could check their DNA, and you know what they found out? That all the Jews came from four mothers. Four. Not three, not two, not one. Jacob's four wives. You know them by Leah and Rachel and Zilpah and Bilhah. Yeah. And you can go find out what son came from each one. Remember, that was our study, the baby wars. So, the big lie is stated as, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator. 25, the inventor of an idol fashions something after a created entity which is perishable and finite, and falls down and worships the damn thing. That's why when God told the Jews to invade the land where all the Canaanites were, every idol you find, you grind it to powder. Or if it's wood, burn it. Destroy them all. Get rid of every last one of them. All right, I'll let you go. I'll see you where it counts, as I always tell people. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.